The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
Huh? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello, Kid Monster.
You are ruining my song.
Oh, me sorry, me no mean to.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, please being quiet for a minute so I can finish.
Okie dokie.
Good. I'm glad we have this new technology.
For porn.
Which gives us untold opportunity.
For porn. Oh, sorry.
From your own desktop.
For.
You can research, browse, and shop. Until you've had enough and you're ready to stop.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn. The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
Me up all night hugging me. Porn to porn. Porn, porn.
That's gross. You're a pervert.
Sticks and stones, Kate Monster.
No, really. You're a pervert. Normal people don't sit at home and look at porn on the internet.
Oh?
What?
You have no idea. Ready, normal people?
Ready.
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 Let me hear it.
The internet is for porn.
Sorry, Kate.
The internet is for porn.
I masturbate.
All these guys unzip their flies for porn. Porn.
The internet is not for porn.
Porn. Porn.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
Now, I happen to know for a fact that you, Rob, check your portfolio and trade stocks online.
That's correct.
And Brian, you buy things on Amazon.com.
Sure.
And Gary, you keep selling your possessions on eBay.
Yes, I do.
And Princeton, you sent me that sweet online birthday card.
True.
Oh, but Kate, what you think he do after?
Yeah.
Ew!
The internet is for porn.
Gross!
The internet is for porn.
I hate porn.
Grab your dick and double click for porn. Porn, porn.
I hate men.
Porn.
I'm leaving.
Porn.
I hate the internet. Porn.
The internet is for internet is for
internet is for porn.
Yeah.
Oh. That one come out right.
It's the ending of it. Before the credits roll.
It's so electro. That one come out right. Are you too far behind for it to be worth doing anymore? It's so electro. Oh. Oh crap!
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. Link it up. And take it away. Take it away.
Thanks to Alan for immediately getting us an explicit rating right out of the bat.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not safe for work tonight, but...
Get it out of the way right off.
Great.
The
you know what? The two things.
But I thought it was something different.
Okay. Two things. I wonder.
Yeah, it was definitely something different, Alan.
One is I don't know how the Skype session remained viable because I used the audio device on the same machine. But if I disconnect, I got to shut down Skype. I don't understand that.
We'll leave it on.
Bugger. I'm not going to. I mean, I'm going to leave it on. Second thing, which has bothered me, that. We got that off of Google Video,
yes.
Right? And if you go to Google Video's page, you have an option to download the video, and the options listed are what? iPod, PlayStation Portable, or Windows and Mac. Why is Linux not listed in there? Those bastards.
Because they don't do. They only use Linux for their stuff. They actually don't release stuff in Linux.
That is wrong.
Well, it is, yeah.
Which I don't understand, because it's an AVI file that I pulled down.
I have nothing to say on
that. Once again, even though the company is founded on top of Linux technology, we are pushed out. Like the redheaded stepchild, beaten.
I'm trying to get Chris DeBona from Google. We could bust his balls about it if we ever get him.
I thought they were trying to do like more Linux-friendly things. They were going to release their stuff, like a Linux Google Map client.
I think it's after they get all the Mac stuff out.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be in 6
years. Because they just came out not too long ago with the Google Earth for Mac. So give it another year, and you'll probably see the Linux version of it.
So what's going on this week, guys?
This week we're going to be talking to Stephen
Wharton.
Well, actually, he's on right now.
Yeah, he's sitting there.
How do you pronounce your last name, Stephen?
I'm pronouncing Martone.
Martone with the iOS project. And Stephen, anytime you want to chime in, feel free. I mean,
sure.
But we're going to eventually. We are going to get
we,
to
we
you.
We have a very free form.
But if you have a comment to make, like if you think that, you know, hey, Google's the stuff, and it doesn't matter whether they release videos for Linux or not. That's up to you.
I do like Google, but I do agree that they need to release some Linux software. Hopefully they will soon.
And if any time you hear Link talking and you just don't agree with what he's saying, just talk right over top of him.
Okay, I sure will.
But we're going to be getting to Steven with iOS in a few minutes. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. We can kick off with Pat's chomping at the bit to discuss his adventures with
Tuvid.
He's been chomping since before we started the show.
Yeah, he was talking. He was rehearsing in the car on the way over.
Well, I was playing with a couple different applications this week. One was Tuvid, which is a nice video program where you can. It's command line as well as a GUI based application. It's really good for converting different video formats. I took some Xvid videos that I had, and I want to watch them on my DVD player, so I used Tuvid to convert them to an MPEG 2, and then I burned them to a DVD, a rewritable, and it came out fantastic. I was shocked how well it worked. No audio lag, no video artifacts or anything. It looked fantastic.
Now I have a question for you, because when we were doing our twat, didn't sound good. We were doing
I just
today with a techie episode.
Yes, today with the techie episode, I was playing around with Tuvid. And I don't have a DVD burner on there, so I figured I'd just try and make a VCD or an SVCD, and it wouldn't work.
You have problems with it?
But the odd thing was, I thought I got it to work, but then I realized I actually created a DVD, and it was ready to burn the DVD.
But you had no DVD.
I don't have a DVD burner, so I was kind of. I wish it would be able to dump it out into an ISO or something that I could just pull over on my machine. But I didn't see that feature.
Because a video CD is what MPEG-1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that if I didn't put a title in the menu and a title on the thing, it would cause a lot of errors. But there was still one error right towards the end, and I can't remember exactly what it was that it couldn't recover from. And then it said it wouldn't be able to make the.
Now this is using the GUI, right? Or are you using the command line?
I used the GUI. I didn't use the command line.
See, I was doing a convergence with the command lines, and what I did was once I had the MPEG 2, I didn't use the GUI to burn it. Like you can if you want to. I used DVD style for the first one, and I did QDVD author for the second one to create it.
So when it was done, you just went through step one and two through the GUI and dropped out?
Not even through the GUI.
I
did it to command line.
I didn't look at the command line.
I did the video conversion, and then I took the MPEG 2 and I opened up in another application, and that's how I created the menus and did it that way.
But if I was doing a command line, I would have ignored you completely. With the GUI, you just mindlessly click and go. But that looks like a really cool application.
It is cool. Another cool application is Sound Converter, which is a nice KDE-based front end to all the different audio encoders. It's really cool. You can take an MP3 file, encode it to an OGG, OGG to whatever, all different formats, FLAC, AEC. It's really nice. I pulled this down from the Arch AUR repository, and I built it with AUR build, and it's pretty cool, man. Speaking of Arch, when we were doing our show the other night, I did an upgrade on my laptop. I just started it, and me and Dan were talking, and I didn't realize that it pulled down the latest kernel, and I rebooted without running Lilo, and got a nice kernel panic, but no big deal. You know, I just booted in with the installed CD, mounted my partitions manually, then change rooted, and I just ran the Lilo that way, and I was up and running pretty quick.
Now, I ran into a similar problem over the weekend, because of course it was the exploit that was released last week for every kernel version prior to 6.15-2 had that exploit in it, and I was interested to see when they were going to put out an update, and apparently the Arch community did put out an update.
Yeah, there's a community version,
and
there's an official version too.
Yeah, I pulled down the community version.
I pulled down the official,
and I set that up and ran Lilo, and you know, thinking this is a kernel here, I'm smart to back up my old kernel because it's possible that it might remove the old kernel and install the new one, which it did. But I thought, oh, hey, I backed it up. I'm golden. But when I rebooted, of course, the new kernel didn't work because apparently it was compiled with Qt or, no, what was it? It was looking for 4.0.1 and it was...
GCC?
It must be GCC.
Yeah.
And I was on 4.0 and it was causing problems. So I went back to the old one thinking I was good to go.
And
of course, it booted, no problem. But I forgot it removed all the library or the modules. So it booted the kernel.
Nothing's
I had
working.
No modules. So I was like, oh, and I lost my install disk. So I figured, well, I'll just mount the ISO as a loopback device, but I couldn't do that because I didn't have the module to load in for a loopback device. And then I couldn't load any CD-ROMs because I couldn't read the CD-ROM.
So what'd you do?
So I booted off a damn small Linux, and I went in, I mounted as a loopback device the image, the Arch image, and then I... Oh, I know what I was going to do. I was going to burn it to a disk, but I couldn't burn it to a disk through Arch because it wouldn't work. It couldn't recognize the device. Well, anyway, I pulled out the kernel package. Then I rebooted into my system, and I installed the old kernel package in there.
What, from the install disk?
Yeah, when I pulled it out of the image, the ISO, and rebooted, and it was fine. And I was concerned I was going to run into the same problem because the official release was the other day. When you said you had issues...
Well, the problem was I didn't realize it pulled down the kernel. I just thought it was going to pull down all the other packages.
Uh-huh.
So when it pulled down the kernel, I didn't run Lilo. So it didn't pick up the new kernel version.
Yeah, so I was kind of concerned. So I backed everything up, even my libraries. Well, actually, I wasn't worried about my libraries because if it messed up, I had already had the kernel package in there. So I rebooted. Everything was fine
since then. The new kernel's working great. One of the cool things is working. I got Suspend to work on my laptop. It's really, really cool, man. Really easy. Works fantastic.
Yeah, it's that's been a bugger for a lot of people.
I got it going like in 2 minutes. It's like one command. I create a little bash script, and I got a little icon where I also have a shortcut on the keyboard, and it's really cool.
Bam,
comes back up in 8 seconds flat, man.
It's pretty sweet. Now we had was it Judlin? I think who made a comment when we were talking about Arch last week, who made a comment afterwards. One of the nice things about the Arch package system and about the build, the package making.
Actually, it was Robert Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy, okay. He said that one of the nice things is it's really simple to customize all these packages if you'd like to. And it's true. Because if you look at the package build file.
You see all the settings in there.
Right. It's basically you got all the configurations. You can alter those. You can change those and remake the package. And it's just as simple as typing make package because most of them go out to where the...
pull down the source.
Pull down the source and it'll compile it for you right there if you're not using a binary package. Slackware has a similar system too if you want to do that because the package builds for Slackware are roughly, you know, the same type of build.
Have you installed AR build?
I have not installed AR build yet. I pulled AR build down just a package file.
Yeah, that's fine. That's how you do it.
And when I ran make package...
Well, you're not supposed to do make package. You're supposed to do pacman-a, then the package name.
I just downloaded the package build file.
See, you can pull down the actual package.
But that was just pulling down. But when I do run the make package, I get the error. And I didn't really look into it. Scriptlet. Arch build install does not exist. So
yeah, go to the guys. Go to the AR build site. And
right.
Then you go to the page that has the package, and you go to his website, and then you can pull down the package, and then just do pacman-a, and then the package name, and that'll install it.
Yeah, so
and then you should be good to go.
I'll get around to it. I've had no problems just pulling down the package file and building it myself. Or
I'm a lazy bastard, so I try to do the least amount of work when I install anything.
That's the spirit.
I didn't do any work,
you know,
damn it.
I'm someone who ran Debian for quite a while, so, you know, that's where I'm coming from.
So it's just been nice. I've really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I've gotten a lot of stuff. I was amazed how many more packages there were when you go over to the AUR, the Arch User Repository. Is that what it stands for?
You can contribute to them. What happens is if you contribute a package, I think it's 15 votes, and then it becomes part of the community repository.
Right.
And then eventually it works its way into the main base package list.
Last night I pulled down Celestia and Blender.
How'd it go?
And I was worried because Celestia said it had to remove Mesa. But I don't use Mesa because I have the NVIDIA drivers and I use NVIDIA's OpenGL.
Uh-huh.
And I thought maybe it might break something. I was a little concerned about that. The only thing it did is GLTron was compiled with Mesa, so it had to remove GLTron, but everything else worked fine. Never put, never ball. All that stuff worked perfectly afterwards. And Celestia is great. You ever play with Celestia?
Yeah, it's a nice application, man.
That's a fun thing. Kids love that.
Yeah, they do.
My kids love that.
I like it.
Link, does your kid love Celestia?
She hasn't played with it yet.
That means he hasn't put it on a system yet.
Pretty much, yeah. No, her big thing is she gets on and does her web pages on, was it MySpace or whatever?
Did you ever, you had issues with that before. You were talking about trying to monitor that for what those other people were saying.
Yeah, her MySpace and her Zanga pages and all that kind of horse pucky.
Yeah, so. What about you, Steven? You ever play with Celestia?
No, I actually have never used it.
It's a fun little astronomy application. Astrology.
Astrology.
Wrong for that. Yeah.
You must check the entrails of this chicken. Yeah.
Help us with our horoscopes.
Yep.
No, I haven't gotten to use it yet, but I'll definitely check it out.
It's fun. It's a fun little application.
It's a pretty big application.
Well, yeah, a fun little big application. You can explore the solar system.
It's OpenGL. It works really great if you've got a nice, decent video card.
Turn on all the clouds and all the constellations and everything and cruise right through the Earth. And I like going up really close to the stars. Now, there's a KDE.
K-Stars.
But it's kind of like a plug-in to Celestia or something. It's similar to Celestia on KDE's end, where you can actually descend down onto the planet and then look up at the stars from the planet. I know K-Stars does that.
That's cool.
But you can go to different planets and do the same thing.
Really? I'm going to try that.
I forget what it was called, but I played around with it when I was running Ubuntu.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm running Ubuntu right now, too, and I'm able to install it pretty easily. It's only a few clicks to get it selected on there, so...
Yeah, it's just something to check out. They have a tutorial. There's a guided tour that you can take, and it'll take you through the planets in the solar system and different like stars and moons and everything. But it's not really a long tutorial or a guided tour. And I think you could actually script your own if you wanted to. It looks a lot of fun. It'd be cool if somebody else made some scripts for that you could pull down, but I haven't looked recently.
So that's just nice. You can download more maps and stuff.
It turns the planets into...
The constellation maps, and there's all different packages.
Women and...
Yeah. What's really cool is those packages, those programs, you can hook up a telescope. A lot of the new modern telescopes, you can hook them up to the computer, and what it'll do is with those applications, it'll point your telescope to the different constellations as you go through.
Yeah, I'm looking at telescopes like that. I've always wanted
really
a telescope.
Cool, man.
So.
I can't wait for my son to get a little older to try.
Do they have apps for Linux that'll do that?
I think Celestia does that.
Oh, it does?
K-Stars does it. Yeah. Does,
oh, yeah?
You know.
You just got to make sure you get the right hardware, obviously.
That one telescope that's
no, it's more than
in
one.
India that'll work
it's,
with Linux.
It's like a common protocol that some of them use. So you just got to research it a little bit. But it's really cool, man. Really cool stuff. And I'm sure I'll be sitting out on my porch one night looking out with a decent telescope. I used to do that when I was a kid, you know, telescopes and stuff. as well as shoot off rockets and blow things up with explosives.
Well, yeah, but who didn't do that?
Yeah.
Well, nerdy kids probably, yeah. But
these days the ATF will come knocking on your door.
Come knocking on your door. I tried GNU Nash.
Nash,
this past couple of days, which is the
free version
GPL
of Flash.
Version of Flash Player. I don't think they have any developmental tools beyond what is already available, like VNC, SWF, the SWF tools, a few other applications. The compile was real easy. I pulled it down off of CVS, and I compiled it. I wanted to make an Arch package out of it, but I ran into a problem because it wanted to install the Firefox plugin. But when you run the typical build and you tell it to install the files into the build directory, it would install all those files except for the Firefox plugin, which had to go to opt, Mozilla, Firefox, lib, whatever it had to go to. And it kept bombing out because it said I didn't have rights to write to that directory. And I didn't want to force the package build as root because then it wouldn't have captured that package. But luckily, it had a make uninstall. So I just said to hell with making the package, and I uninstalled it. And I took it for a test drive. I removed my old Flash, the Macromedia Flash plugin stuff. And I took it for a test drive. And it has a little way to go. I went over to nickjr.com to see if it would do anything, and it crashed the browser. I went and I checked out this video I knew that was online, and it didn't really work right. And I don't know if it's because the video was too big and it was waiting to download. But after that, after not having a lot of success with actually going to different places, I didn't do an extensive test, but I tried looking at the sample files that came with the Ganache project, and they look pretty good. I had a little video in there of somebody dancing, which looked just, you know, as well as it would on a Macromedia Flash. They had some test action script applications where you just, like, click on things and you can change the opacity of an object, change the colors, change text sizes. So they're making some significant progress. It's a really, really great project to keep an eye on. And it's something worthwhile to check out. If you have it installed in Firefox, it doesn't seem to take over and replace Macromedia's Flash, because I have them both on there now as a plugin. And if I actually go to a site that supports Flash, it seems that the Macromedia plugin takes precedence over the Nash plugin. But, you know, eventually I'd like to pull out the Macromedia one and just use the Nash.
I guess you got to just try it out and see, you know, how it works at different websites.
Yeah, like I said, I only took it for a test drive on, I think, two or three different pages before I went straight to the test files that came with it.
I got to check it out.
Yeah, the one test file that came with it that wouldn't work. Oh, wait, let me think here. Oh, the one test file that came with it also comes with a standalone player, so you don't have to run it in the browser. So I was running the GNU, the Nash standalone player to test out the libraries that came with it. And the one application that wouldn't work in there was a VNC to SWF. A capture session that they had as an example. It did work in the browser, though, with the Macromedia plugin, but it didn't work with the Nash, which I found kind of odd. And, of course, I didn't have any of my screen captures anywhere that I could find when I started playing around with this at, 1 o'clock in the morning last night before I said it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm already under the weather. I don't need to destroy it anymore. But, you know, check it out. You know, play around with it. Submit some bugs if you have any. Some suggestions. Get involved with the project. I think it's a really important project. And, you know, my hat's off to those guys. Something that we can all benefit from. And then they can port it over to Google, and Google can make its own Flash that'll work on Windows and then OS X, but not under
Linux. It seems like Google is like the new Microsoft. Everyone's bitching about Google lately.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Anyhow.
Just one other thing I want to mention. And I got to find it. But Scale.
Not being prepared tonight, huh?
Yeah, not being prepared. I had this all marked out, but Scale is coming up.
Oh, that's that Southern California conference, yes. In Los Angeles, right? Oh, right, L.A.?
Yes, and I have...
That's a good conference, I heard.
Yeah, it's I wish I could get out to scale. Link, you going to scale this year?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll be right there, man.
L.A., better watch out. Link is coming in.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a fat man. Holy shit!
Oh, okay. Yeah, here we go. Let me play.
Did Jeremy go to that last year? You gonna play a promo?
Oh, I know what I did. I moved it into the start over here instead of having it. You know, I don't know where I moved it. I said, I'm going to move it here so I don't lose it. And I'm going to make sure I play it. And, of course, now I can't find it. But here, let me just pull it right down again. And so that...
What are you pulling over there, Dan? I'm concerned because you're locked up in a small room with, you know, Alan pretty close to you there.
Where do you hear Pat screaming?
I'm far away. Pat's closer.
Let me quickly play this scale. Hold on 1 second, guys, and then we're going to come right back and speak with Steven about iOS. All right, be right back. Hold on.
Does your computer crash? Viruses and spyware got you down? Well, if you answered no, chances are you're using Linux. And whether you haven't heard of Linux or are a seasoned open source vet, come to the Southern California Linux Expo, February 11th and 12th of 2006 at the Radisson LAX. You'll meet users of all skill levels and listen to speakers ready to show you what open source software can do for your home or business. For more information, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.com. We'll see you there.
You know what sucks about that? I can't go, and I'll probably never get out there to go to that, but the day before it starts, I will be in Las Vegas, the closest I'll probably ever get to Southern California.
It's overrated, man. I've been out to L.A. My brother lived in Southern California for 6 years.
Well, you're saying scale's... Not, I mean, you're saying Southern California's
overrated. Scale's not, probably cool.
Not scale. Okay, just so we're clear on that.
Where are you going in Vegas? Where are you staying?
I don't know. I'm going because I have to collect information.
Got to go to the gun store, man. It's on Tropicana Boulevard. You can go in there and shoot a full automatic weapon.
You can go down to DEF CON and shoot a full automatic weapon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not legal.
Are you sure?
It's only legal in Las Vegas and I think Arizona.
I'll double check because I think they have...
I don't know about that,
double check on that. I don't know. I don't know. What the hell do I have?
If it's true, take me with you next time.
I'll go.
Well, they have an indoor firing range and I'm sure they do whatever the heck they want to after hours.
After hours, yes. The doors are locked.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows? But, yeah, you know, they're perfectly legal down there.
Yeah, but the gun store is a cool place, man. The gun store. Tropicana Boulevard.
Yeah.
That and the Deja Vu. Olympic Gardens.
All right. Let's get Steven on. Let's talk about...
Alan knows what I'm talking about.
iOS. Go ahead, Pat. Introduce our guest tonight. Officially introduce our guest.
Steven, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to talk to you guys.
The iOS project. What is iOS?
Well... Basically, iOS, we call it an operating system, but in actuality, it's more similar to a web content management system, giving the user a desktop to use applications. There are new Web 2.0, if you will, applications coming out now, Mebo, Writely, and whatnot. iOS would be a desktop to run these applications on in Windows. So that's where we're going, or that's our goal to get to in the future. As of now, iOS stands as a desktop with PDA-type applications, letting people get into the system and start using it, see how it works. It's growing from there, basically. I guess we started out as three programmers in Spain, the project started. Mainly because they were sick of having their files on their computer at home and then not being able to get them when they got to school and whatnot. iOS gives you the ability to take your desktop everywhere you go. You can sign into it from the web. It's all programmed in PHP with not even needing a database back end, so it's definitely very, very simple to install.
So is this like a thin client kind of thing?
Well, basically, iOS runs on Apache and with PHP. Those are the only two requirements that you'd need. So the actual operating system would still be Linux, and we're still definitely supporting Linux. We're just basically putting a desktop on top of that, a desktop that can be put over the internet.
Now, ask me a question. Do you have, or answer a question for me, do you have any idea if there are any problems running your particular application on top of any architecture, any specific architecture? Have you tried it on any architecture other than i386?
Well, we're still in the development stage. We're still in a beta stage. So we're now in development of 0.9, which will be our full AJAX version. And so at that point, we're going to really start looking into the bugs and stuff on different systems. As of right now, we're really just sticking towards development. We see this part of our project as really the direction of getting more applications for the system at this point. With it being so new, it's difficult to all of a sudden come out with a system that has enough applications to be popular. So we're really concentrating on just getting many applications for that, contacting other open source developers and whatnot.
Well, I'll tell you something that I found really interesting is that earlier, while Dan and Pat were, I don't know, yanking whatever they were yanking over there, I went to your site and visited your demo and checked it out, and I was kind of intrigued, so I grabbed it and I installed it over here on my Ultra One Spark Station.
Okay.
Running Debian 3.1 at 166 megahertz, and I'll tell you what, it runs as fast on that as it does on your demo site, maybe even a little bit faster.
Yeah, and probably should be a little faster.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Thank you.
In fact, I put a screenshot up for those of you guys who still remember where the webcam page is on the Tech Show website, tllts.org/webcam. You can see a screenshot of it running on my Spark station.
Cool.
On my Ultra
Spark.
That's
cool. We just released recently, actually, I think it was yesterday, what we're coining as the mini server, which is basically a light version of Apache installed with iOS, so then you can then just use an unpacker to get it running on Windows. We had to go and make things easy for the Windows users out there as well. So basically our mini server package is Apache, a small version of Apache and Firefox, to get iOS running on a local computer, and it makes it a lot easier to get it running on your local network. So you can use iOS to basically connect all of the computers in your home network, and then very easily open it up to the internet with a public IP. I would definitely suggest the mini server for anyone, any of the listeners that are looking to test it, especially on a Windows system, because then you don't need to go out and get hosting and whatnot. You don't have to spend any money to actually test the system.
I'll tell you what, I'm playing around with it right now, and holy moly, that's pretty darn cool. That
Thank
web
you.
Browser is fully functional in there.
That's damn nifty, isn't it?
Yeah. iNav, that's our browser. And we're trying to improve that as well, because as you see, it's doesn't have bookmarking and whatnot. We're going towards that, and that's going to be released with 0.9, which should be coming out in the next few weeks. And it will actually be a lot faster when we get to 0.9 because of AJAX programming. If you see the system now, every time you start a new application, the entire desktop will reload. Once we get AJAX in there, the applications won't cause the desktop to reload. It will be much faster that way.
So you're not using AJAX at all now?
As of right now, no. This is all just straight PHP programming.
Really? Now, that's really cool, because I noticed that as I drag, using like Java or something like that, drag
there,
the applications run on the screen, they're pretty quick.
There are AJAX parts, but we can't consider it an AJAX application because it's not complete yet. You know, like, we're getting AJAX into it. Yes, the windowing system and whatnot is great with AJAX. It will be better when we're all AJAX. This is what we're looking towards. 0.9 is going to be a milestone for us, a huge milestone, as we make the system much, much more dynamic. And really, right now what we're looking at is making the desktop itself more stable, and to run on more systems, like what we've just done releasing the Windows mini server. But then in the future, we're going to start really pushing out the applications. We're looking towards basically separating into three different types of applications. Business applications, where we have more project management, collaborative types of software, and then home applications, where it will be more like a PDA type of thing. You can keep all of your contact information and whatnot, so you can basically get all of your information from anywhere in the world that you can connect to the internet. And then actually a third group would be like web content management software that will allow ISPs and whatnot to use iOS to give their customers a connection to their webmail and other services like that. So we're looking to build into three different types of applications there.
How about a terminal application?
One thing I definitely... That's been suggested in our forum, and I believe a few people in our community are working on that. When you get into that, you start building into more security issues, since it is an internet application. It's like how much connection to the web server do you want to give to people? But yes, we're definitely working towards the terminal as part of our community. It's not one of our core applications that our team is working towards, though.
I'm talking like a telnet terminal kind of thing, because I can see this being a really nifty way to replicate desktops for, you know, multiple users in a work environment kind of thing.
Yeah. I think the community is building towards that. But definitely an intranet, basically, is what you're talking about, an intranet inside a company to help monitor different workstations and whatnot.
Sure, if you needed to pop up a terminal to telnet to another machine or something like that, mm-hmm. to run some programs. And the only other things that I really see that it's lacking is, like, you need a reload forward and back button on your iNav.
Uh-huh.
And iNav really needs to start up with tllts.org as the homepage.
I believe you can change the homepage, but that might require some coding at this point.
Yeah, you could if you really wanted to. If you need to get your porn fix at work, you could just log into here and go through iNav.
That's true. Then you won't have to worry about any trails.
There you go. So,
Dan, go straight to what it cares about.
iOS, get your port at work.
The new logo.
That's definitely not the...
that's probably not the logo he wants for the company.
No, we're definitely trying to push iOS as more of an intranet technology. Can help companies connect their sales force across the country, across the world. Especially as like the Nokia 770 has been released recently, the internet tablet running on Linux. Our whole project, our team is completely fascinated with that device because it's completely internet based. It's basically, in our opinion, hardware being built for iOS as the future grows. We'd like to have everyone working on a little internet tablet connecting to their iOS servers and being able to connect to their company that way. There's a lot of collaboration that can be done through iOS, and that's the main thing. iMessages and the iBoard are two ways that companies can communicate with each other. You can create private or public messages, so you can leave yourself some notes on there, but you can also then release them to everybody else on the system, meaning everyone else in your company or everyone else just in your department of the company.
You had brought up a good point there about it being used in corporations and everything with a Nokia tablet, but are you looking at connectivity in other handheld devices like the Palm series of devices, BlackBerries, Pocket PCs?
Well, BlackBerry seems to be having some legal issues right now, but Palm and whatnot, the biggest thing we're working towards right now is the resolution. Screen resolution becomes an issue. Running applications in Windows on a Palm... it becomes difficult. So we're actually, our designers, David and Mark, are really working hard now on a new format for the desktop that will be more dynamic on different resolutions. That would allow us to then work towards different devices. The reason I bring up the Nokia is because it's already 800 by 480 resolution, and it's going to view the iOS desktop beautifully. The Trio, I think, is only 320 pixels wide. It makes it a lot more difficult to view the desktop, especially if you're going to open Windows inside that desktop. So.
Yeah, the one other thing I see, and I don't know if you mentioned this, and I was just too amazed at what I was looking at, and I missed what you said, but are you going to integrate email with this?
There are some email applications being created by our community right now, and as they grow, we're definitely going to integrate them into the official project. There are several people in our community working on POP3 email clients right now. And that's definitely what we're looking towards with what I was saying before about ISPs, a version of iOS that would work for ISPs. That would be excellent. You'd have a POP3, basically a POP3 webmail client, whereas right now people can't really save their webmail as well. If you have an iOS desktop, you can save your email to your file directory instead of just saving it all on the web server, the email server itself. So yes, that's definitely one thing we're looking towards. Basic applications of operating systems, the browser, the email client, contact information, and whatnot, those are going to be integrated into iOS as we can build those applications. Our community is growing, so of course, if anyone's listening to the show, we're always looking for people to join our community and help us grow the project. The more programmers we have, the better, and the faster we can put out applications for it. We're going to be working hard on the desktop itself, but it's always great to have a community behind us helping us make some software for it.
Now, when you're saying about the desktop, what are you looking to do on the desktop end? I mean, it's already run through a browser. What do you want to do with the desktop end of it?
Well, definitely the launcher is being redesigned right now, because that's one issue with resolution. The launcher requires pretty wide resolution, so we're looking to have some better programming so that the launcher is not as static as it is right now, I guess is the best term.
Okay.
But also, going towards the Ajax, the full Ajax release is really our main concern right now. It will just make the entire system run much faster than it is right now, and be much more stable. And then once we have the system stable, we have a good structure for importing software into it. Basically, any PHP application or any PHP programming can be made into an iOS application very easily. So we're going to start releasing methods to create your own iOS applications and whatnot.
How long have you guys been working on this?
iOS was started in August of 2005, so it's only been 5 months, 6 months now. We really started moving much quicker, probably around October. Things started really picking up for us as we expanded our team to now six members. We have two programmers, two designers, and two of us, myself included, really trying to push the business aspect, get some companies interested and giving us some support with the system. Of course, if we're able to work on this full-time, we would be able to improve it much faster.
So you're doing this part-time, and you've gotten this for a while.
Yeah, all of us have full-time jobs outside of the system. Some of us, like myself and Pal, the founder of it, also go to school. So we get to do iOS whenever we have free time. It's definitely cut down on my Xbox hours, so that's good.
I'll tell you what, it's really amazing because, you know, the more I play with it, the more I think you're probably only two or three, you know, real important apps away from getting this to be a viable desktop for a viable business desktop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can see it taken right off. You know, it'd be nice and convenient and multi-platform, computer independent kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And running it under Ajax, of course, is going to make it way faster too. So
yeah. And we're actually looking towards making it more of a full operating system with the iOS Live project. And that's basically what we're trying to do there is a very small Linux kernel, very light Apache with only the required packages to get iOS running. And then it would basically be more of an operating system rather than just a web desktop. You can run iOS locally as well as across the internet. So once we do have those applications, I definitely agree there. It's going to be much more viable.
Are there any special requirements for your applications, how you code them?
No, pretty much any PHP application can be thrown into our iOS windowing system. So we're actually looking towards a lot of the other open source projects out there right now that have some business-oriented CRM packages and whatnot, see if we can create those into iOS applications. So there's really there's a lot of information on our website about how to create iOS applications and how to modify the system and whatnot. A great thing about iOS is that it is open source programming, it's web programming, so it's really easy to edit the system yourself. A lot of times we'll say not to because it could cause issues when we upgrade the system later. Right now we're releasing packages that will easily upgrade your system without losing the files that you've saved on your desktop and whatnot. When you start editing, you can cause some issues there, but there is definitely the ability to edit the system very easily.
So. Does it support anything else besides PHP, or does it just have to be straight PHP?
Oh, no, all of the applications can be any type of web program. We have some Flash applications, actually IAMP, which is our MP3 player, basically, is written in Flash with some XML in there to show the playlists and whatnot. We also have a spreadsheet that was given to us by a member of our community that's written completely in Java. So really, the iOS system is based on PHP, but it can run any... The Windows will run any web software, any web programming, basically.
Wow. So if somebody wanted to install the mini server and try it out, what are the minimum requirements that they'll need?
The mini server is a complete package, so really it will install on any Windows machine. It's got everything in there. It's got the web server. It's got the Firefox browser that will open when you run the mini server. Basically, running the mini server is going to create a small Apache server on your machine, and then will open a Firefox window without any navigation or anything. It will just be straight to your iOS system. So basically a blank Firefox window straight to iOS. Once you're there, you can do anything to it. So there's really no minimum requirements because it's a very light system. If you have Windows XP, if you have Windows 98, it's going to run perfectly fine.
What are some of the other apps that you guys are looking to set up and code? Anything in particular?
We're really building towards... Right now we have iEdit is our main word processing program, and I think as we've seen with all operating systems, word processing programs are real crucial towards the success of an operating system. We're looking towards that right now as our main focus in terms of applications, word processing. In an internet-based architecture where it's going to be a collaborative word processor rather than... Standard word processing right now is you write something on your computer, you save it on your computer, and you maybe email it to someone. On iOS, you'll be able to write something and then send a message to someone else on the iOS system who can edit it while you're editing the same document. It will be much more dynamic than standard word processing. That's our main goal.
It sounds like a wiki almost.
Very similar. It will have a little bit more control than a wiki because you will be able to have your own private documents as well as public documents. But that's definitely the future of collaborative work on and where the internet's bringing the business world. Looking towards a messaging system, an instant messaging system, so that you can connect to Yahoo and AIM and whatnot through iOS.
I got to say one thing. I only have one complaint.
What's that?
One complaint. The color scheme.
On the website?
It's killing my eye.
You don't like lime green? It's supposed to be shocking. It's supposed to be interesting.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Shocking, all right.
Look at the other open source projects out there. I bet you won't find any with the lime green color scheme.
No, we probably won't.
Always remember iOS.
I think there's a reason for that, but no, it's like, whew, it's hard on my eyes, but I mean, it's so captivating, but
yeah. Well, one thing with iOS right now is you can get there are many skins available in our forum, so that you could change that. The wallpaper can be changed very easily through the iOptions application, so you can put any background you'd like up there. We just made a new one for 2006 to kind of basically mark 2006 as our big year. You know, we got ourselves established in 2005, and we're really trying to push forward. So our current desktop wallpaper says 2006 for iOS. But you can change that to anything very easily through the iOptions. And then changing the window borders, which the white and whatnot, that's all done through skinning, and you could skin each application in iOS.
So I'm just looking through your forum, and I see you have a big Spanish and Catalan section.
Yeah, because the three main founders are from Barcelona.
There you go.
Pau, David, and Mark, who started the iOS project, are all based in Barcelona, so they've started with the Spanish community, and we're hoping to build it towards the rest of the world now. But yes, definitely, Spain is a center for iOS right now. It's actually where we've opened up the first iOS office. Pat was just talking to me about. We have our own iOS office in Barcelona now.
Barcelona?
Yeah.
It's a nice town. I've been there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town. Well, I'll definitely mention to the team the color scheme. Although I think our designers are really caught up in lime green. So.
Do they run SUSE?
Excuse me?
Do they run SUSE?
I'm not sure which operating system they're using, no.
That might explain it.
They work in really dark rooms. So this is the only light source they have. So that's what they do. So
if you don't have the lights on, you'll burn your eyes by looking at it.
So now, have you been on board with the project since the beginning?
No, I actually got on team, I think it was the beginning of the end of October of 2005. Just before that, our core programmer Hans from France joined the team, I believe, in September. And most recently, our last team member Eduardo has joined this month. Actually, in January, he's joined our team. So, yeah, since we just started in August, we're all pretty much new to the team.
It looks like it's moving pretty quick, man. You guys got it together pretty fast. Got to give you credit.
Yeah, we now have iOS T-shirts available on our site.
Dan, for your birthday.
Yeah. We're really trying to just get the word out. iOS, it's got to be more popular than this. It's got to grow. People just should know the name. It's open source. We're not trying to make money. We're simply trying to get the technology, the idea out there. The main thing is that we really believe in this technology. I've always loved the internet. I love the fact that you can connect to a web page from anywhere. It would be great to connect your personal computer from anywhere.
It'd be nice to make money, though, wouldn't it?
Well, of course, if we could get some corporate funding, it would help us make the technology much faster. So, yeah, we would love to talk to any businesses out there that might be listening.
Have you had any corporate interests?
We have talked to several venture capitalists and several ISPs that have been interested in supporting us. They're all looking for us to get to that next level where iOS has more of a use to it. We need to really build up our application base before they see the use of iOS, or I guess before they want to open up their wallets is the main thing. But we are talking to a few companies trying to get their funding and to get them involved in iOS. So.
Hey, you guys done an amazing job.
Thank you.
In less than, 6 months? Wow. I feel like a loser.
You are a loser.
We're all really dedicated to the project, and I hope that it shows on our site.
Wow.
Are there any particular areas you guys are looking for help in besides money, you know, as far as developers and stuff like that?
Yeah, Ajax programmers at this point, we would definitely welcome into the community with open arms. Ajax is a new technology, I guess. It's a new programming language. It's difficult to find people really interested in helping out an open source project who are looking to program basically for the technology and not for salary. But Ajax programmers and any web programmers who have applications that might work with iOS, we would love them to contact us, team@ios.org. We'll go to every member of our team, and we can start talking from there. We're interested in all applications that are out there.
So now, when you get around to porting over the word processing aspect of it, the kind of Office suite, are you guys going to be supporting the open document format? And are you going to look to supporting Microsoft's format also?
I think it would be great if we could. It's going to completely depend on our programming capabilities. I'm not sure that our current team has even looked at that yet. But definitely that would be a definite direction for us. I think our team would be more just in the open document format than any Microsoft formats. But of course, Word is still kind of controlling the market there, so we might have to consider that. But yes, definitely.
So now, when
I'm sorry. You can continue.
When you create a document in the iEdit and you go to save it, where does it save it to?
It saves it to iEdit right there. If you click up on the right left of that screen, you'll see where you can view files, I believe.
Right.
And it's basically, the structure of iOS is very similar to a Linux structure, where each user is going to have their own home directory. And that's iHome there will be a viewer of that home directory. You can upload MP3 files, image files, basically any file there. If you were to save, if you were to save a document from iEdit to your home directory, it's going to be saved as an HTML document. And then you'll be able to download that to your personal computer or to view that with iEdit or with iNav, I guess you'd be able to do as well. And as of right now, iEdit is not necessarily an official word processor. I guess it's more of a text editor.
Okay. Snappy.
It's cool stuff, man.
Thank you.
So now, what drew you to the project? I mean, you just saw it and liked it? And said,
I'm currently finishing up my master's degree and in management of information technology, and I've been studying content management systems as my main focus, basically looking at the Mambo project and whatnot. I was led to iOS through opensourcecms.com, an excellent website for finding open source web projects, and iOS was added to that. And I was able to find the team through them. I've done a lot of research with content management systems. Basically, I started out after undergrad. I think a lot of people do, getting into web development, realizing that's not really a great industry right now because it's already been programmed before, it's already been done, and it led me into content management systems. And I've just grown from there. iOS is basically the next logical step in content management systems. Instead of just creating a web page, it gives you a web desktop. So that's why I've just become fascinated with the project. We have a lot of games for iOS. If you look at the iOS website, the iApps.org website, a lot of companies have been donating games to us. They create Flash games, Java games, and whatnot. I guess it helps them market their companies, and we're definitely happy to do that. But we're hopefully looking towards more useful software for an operating system rather than just games. But there are quite a few Flash and Java games that can be added to the iOS system. And also several ones on the iApps website. The spreadsheet is excellent. It's growing. It's a Java app that's definitely growing. And we also have an IRC client, which is great.
What kind of games?
A lot of the Flash games you'll see on the internet. My favorite being Tetris. Tetris is on there. That's a great game to pass the time if you're stuck at work for too long. Or basically, if you were to go to any of these forums that are all over the internet, they have Flash games. Most of those have been ported into iOS now. Standard Flash games you might see as like used as marketing games and whatnot to win things on websites. Not all of them are as complicated as PC gaming and whatnot. They're basically Atari level,
right?
Maybe Nintendo level games.
So then you don't have any of those on the demo site, do you?
No,
I didn't assume that.
No, because those are all provided to us by our community. They're not created by our team.
Ah.
So plus we don't really want to push iOS as a gaming system, because that's not the main focus of our project. It is very possible, because there are lots of internet-based games now, and they're out there. But that's not the main focus of iOS, so we're not going to basically add them to the core system. But they're very easily added. Once you log into your iOS, you can open up iApps as an application that we have, and that will let you manage the applications and install new applications. Right now, our current launcher only allows for 10 applications to be on your desktop at one time. You can install as many as you'd like, but it will only put the 10 icons that you choose onto the desktop. The rest of them, you'll have to go into the iApps application to start those up. That's one thing that I was talking about before. We're trying to improve our launcher to basically hold as many applications as you'd like.
What about printing from iOS? Are you guys looking into that? How would somebody print something out of iOS?
As of right now, I don't think that we've really looked into that yet. That's definitely something we need to look into. I'm thinking that's going to be a big issue when we get into the word processor and whatnot. As of right now, iOS is more of completely computer-based. I'm actually not sure if you'd be able to print through like Firefox's standard printing or whatnot. It may get messed up with the windowing system. If you were to need to print off of iOS, the easiest thing at this point would be to copy and paste. But that's definitely something that we'll have to add to our list. I'm actually going to write that down right now, because that's definitely important.
So what else you do when you're not working on iOS?
Oh, God, it seems like I'm always working on iOS now. But like I was saying before, I'm pretty big into computers. I love Linux. I'm running Ubuntu and stuff, and I love to learn about Linux. I do quite a bit of gaming. I have a GameCube. That's great. Did have an Xbox, but it just died on me. So I guess I'm saving up for the 360.
You know what? You don't want the 360. You just wait for the Revolution to come out. You won't have to save as much money, and you'll have a lot more fun.
Yeah, well, actually, I was trying to swear off Microsoft products, and I love the Revolution. I'm definitely going to get one of those. The new controller just looks ridiculously awesome, but there are a few games being released for the 360. I might just have to buy one for those. I'm also into sports. I think exercise is what keeps me sane, since I'm sitting in front of a computer so much. Big into basketball. I was on the fencing team at the University of Notre Dame when I was there.
How did that work out for you?
It was good. It was great. Kept me in shape while I was in college, so that was good.
You still do that? You still fence?
No, I haven't since I graduated. Somewhat thinking about getting back into it, but never seemed to find enough time.
You know what? You're going to just stop doing all that stuff and focus on iOS.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do.
There you go. That's all you need.
That's really what I am hoping to do. It's just been intriguing me more and more every day. And I just want to make every idea I have or the community has actually become reality. So it would be great if Google would start supporting us. Like you were saying before, they don't support Linux. Maybe they'll support iOS.
Yeah, then it won't work on Linux anymore.
But isn't that what they're trying to do with Google? They're, you know, the whole big rumor going around was they were going to have a low-end operating system based on Linux that was going to be more web-based than anything.
I guess, and maybe that would be our greatest competition in the future. The fact that we're the open source project starting this, though, hopefully we'll keep our community, even if Google tries to pull a Microsoft on us. I'm not sure what they're planning on releasing. I don't think there's been too much talk about Google's operating system. I have heard the same thing, though, but haven't seen anything from them yet. I think Google is the company that started the Ajax programming language, so that may be where they were going with it.
Then they'll come and take your eyes, OS. It'll be Google's eyes.
They'll buy you out for $30 million. They'll buy you guys out for $30 million, and then you can go fly on Soyuz or something.
That would be great. Hopefully, they would want us to continue programming for them, though. We're all, like, really into the iOS system. It would be great to get support and help to continue it. We don't want to be bought off of the system, though. We would like to stay on iOS. If there was a company that wants to help contribute, we would like them to work with us because we really have confidence in this system and this technology. So I don't think we're looking to sell. We're looking to get some assistance so that we can really take it into the future.
Awesome. So what do you do for your day job?
I work at a local ISP, network manager of a small local ISP here in northern Indiana, basically helping to install internet service for our customers and troubleshoot that and whatnot. So I pretty much live on the internet. It's really sad, but true.
So what are you guys using primarily for the internet servers? What are they pushing?
Well, at my company, we're a Motorola shop, so we run wireless internet with their Canopy product line. Canopy is a wireless point-to-point technology or point-to-multipoint technology running on 5.2 gigahertz radio frequency. So basically, our entire system is Motorola products. We actually outsource all of our web hosting and email, but all of our internal stuff is run with Motorola. Motorola Canopy, I believe the website is canopywireless.com, is an excellent resource to learn about that. It's a wonderful technology. They use it in... I believe they used it down in Atlanta New Orleans when they were having trouble with the floods, because they can set up an internet base station in a matter of minutes, connecting the Canopy antennas. They have a distance of, I think it's 15 miles between antennas, so you can really set up a system quick.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. About iOS,
another. Sure.
How come whenever I try to go to a HTTPS site, a secured site, it always redirects me to PayPal?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that bug, but let me see.
HTTPS. Well, what's a good site to go to? I can go to anything. Go to my site.
I would say go to your mail site.
I just get redirected to PayPal.
Interesting.
Weird.
I honestly don't know, and I'll have to bring that up with the
That's so
programmers.
I can donate, right?
And that brings up another good point. Like you were mentioning that it's easy to integrate PHP apps with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go for something like Squirrel Mail or something for email?
Yeah, we could have a Squirrel Mail application in there. What we would like to do, though, is make something more iOS-oriented. so that it can basically save email to the iOS system rather than, like, Squirrel Mail basically holds it on the email server. If you're able to download that to your iOS, you're downloading that to a directory that you're given on a web server, so you have much more space and much more control over that email. Squirrel Mail doesn't really have that many options to it. It's still a basic web mail application. We'd like something as a mail client to be more complete, so that's what we're looking towards, something like a complete desktop mail client rather than a web mail system. Just putting web mail into another window is not really an improvement from what they have, but making a web-based email client is really what we're looking towards with iOS.
That's another good point you bring up, putting things into another window, because I've tried several times to open up more than one iNav window.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, I believe right now you can only open one of each application, one window of each application. That will definitely be part of the upgrade to 0.9, where you'll have multi-windows, and they won't really conflict with each other.
Some people on our IRC are wondering where the themes are for this.
Or currently, you'd be able to get any themes or skins off of our forum. If you go to the iForums off of the iOS website, our team has not organized themes, and that may be something we'll look towards, is creating like iThemes or whatnot. But as of right now, you'll have to grab skins out of the forum. A few of our community members have posted them in the forum. Maybe if you were able to search our forum for skins or themes, you'd probably find it there.
Go
ahead, Dan.
I guess that's where you'll find the other applications that people have ported over, too.
Yeah, I was just going to mention
pretty
much the same thing, that people are looking for themes, and I was looking for themes myself and didn't find anything, because I think that this is probably one of the coolest web applications I've run across in a long, long time, and I would love to use it. However, my personal opinion, and that of several people on our IRC chat, is that it's horribly ugly.
Okay. Wow.
And
David
I would,
and Mark are going to be upset with this interview.
Yeah, but you know, it's the user's opinion, and I really think it's an awesome desktop. I really, really like it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you should make prominent on your website is the ability to change the look of it real fast if you want to. You know.
Yeah. Thank you. Definitely, we're open to everybody's suggestions here.
But
I really think I'm
going
to have to go back
Link.
To the... What's that?
I said, but not Link's suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but not my suggestions, right.
We're definitely going to have to come together as a team tomorrow and start discussing all this. The theming will be a main issue. I think the team has kind of pushed theming, skinning to the background while we get into Ajax, because once we get to that point, things might change a little bit with the system. But definitely I'm gonna push the team towards that direction.
One of the things
I kind of like the green, though. I have to stand up for our designers here, because I like the lime green. It's definitely something you don't see normally. The blues, the reds, those have all been taken so many times. You know,
it does
maybe a little darker green, so it doesn't burn your
eyes.
See,
now that's what it is. I don't think that it's really, really ugly. It's just way, way too bright.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it depends a lot on your monitor, but I definitely... Yeah, on my laptop it looks dark. On my desktop here, it looks a lot brighter. It's almost white.
And it probably depends on your age, too.
That's true.
As, like, Link's an old guy. And Alan
yeah,
had to wear,
I'm an old guy.
Alan had to wear sunglasses when he looked at it.
Put the sunglasses on.
He had to wear his, what are those called? The glaucoma glasses.
my welding glasses.
Yeah, well, and I think as people get older and their eyesight starts to go, it's hard to differentiate the border of the application window with the background, because it's white on that bright of a color. But and you know, again, that's just cosmetics. I mean, the application, the performance is just so sweet. One of the questions that came through on the IRC, another one was. There's a lot of applications that would take documents and convert between different formats. Like you could convert a Word document or HTML file or a bunch of different things, the PDFs that would be viewable through a browser. Are you going to incorporate any of that technology in the back end, that if there was a document that somebody wanted to see that wasn't like a Word document, that you could convert it in the background into a PDF so that they could see it in the browser?
As of right now, we don't have those features, but that's going to be something that we're going to have to add to iHome. iHome is our file manager, basically, and it allows you to open documents, view images, and whatnot. We'll have to look towards that, but it's not a current feature. It's definitely something that will be necessary. I agree with your listener.
Now
I'll definitely add that as well.
I thought image editing would be really cool, but you know what would really make this the killer app? Video editing.
Video
you
editing.
Could do video look. Editing.
A web-based video editing? You got to be
video editing.
That, as the internet stands at this point, bandwidth would become the biggest issue with that. We are looking towards an image editor. That should be released very soon, actually. It's going to be a basic paint program, and we'll start from there. There is one available, very, very basic, on iApps. It's a very simple color picker type of thing. But we're very close to releasing an image editor on the level of Microsoft Paint. It's not going to be as advanced as a true image editor where I see like Photoshop and whatnot, but it will grow to that in our goals. Wow. Video editing, though, I think the whole internet kind of needs to get a little bit faster.
Give that about 20 years.
So you end up crawling. It brings it to its knees, but it take you a couple days to just do a few seats.
True. With iOS working on a local area network, video editing might actually be possible. It's not going to be a reasonable alternative to your PC, though. But it will allow you to edit across a local area network. That could be something. I don't think that's going to be our main focus for the applications.
No.
Video editing and 3D animation.
I don't think there's very much 3D on the internet right now. The few 3D images I have seen on websites are pretty basic. But as the internet grows, iOS is dynamic enough to grow with it. So as bandwidth doesn't become as big an issue as it is right now, we should be able to integrate those applications pretty quickly, since they're all like web programming. Web programming is pretty simple.
Yeah, you guys make it look easy. You produce this in a few months on your spare time.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, the original developers, are they still part of the project? Or
yeah.
Have they burned out?
No. The original developers, Pau, David, and Mark from Spain, are still working on the team, and they're still the whole functioning of the team revolves around their designs. Our main developer, Hans from France, is really working on the Ajax, and he's an integral part of our team. But yes, we haven't lost anyone along the way. We've still been working with the original engineers, I guess we'll call them.
So now, do you do all your coding for this in VI or Emacs?
Oh, I'm not sure what the coders use. I'm not one of the programmers on the team. But I'm not sure. I'll have to ask them. I would expect. I know that they are Linux or Mac people. So definitely no Microsoft applications. But I'm not sure.
See, there you have it. The future of your desktop is not Microsoft, after all.
Yeah. Definitely.
So what do you prefer, VI or Emacs?
I definitely prefer VI.
Alright!
Just because that's what I was brought up on, I guess. That's what we used at Notre Dame when I was learning most of my programming. Some people have tried to get me into Emacs and whatnot. I think everyone sticks with what they started with.
Wow. You know what? Emacs is a great operating system, but I was using it one time and had to edit a file, so I had to install VI.
Well, one other thing is Bluefish is a great web editor that's just been released for Linux. I use that for a lot of more basic programming. It definitely is a great editor for web programming, similar to Dreamweaver, but I think a lot more than Dreamweaver, because they don't go towards the unnecessary junk that Micromedia started throwing in there.
Good stuff, man. Looking forward to seeing what you guys come out with in the next year.
Yeah, like, what's your... do you have a definitive release date or anything like that for new releases?
No, we don't have a specific date set up right now, but they'll be announced on our website, so everyone can just continue to check iOS.org. We have RSS feeds right now, so people can get updates on when we're going to release the next version. 0.9 should be within the next month, definitely. It's really hard, like I was saying, since we're not working on this full-time, it's really hard for us to really be strict with deadlines and whatnot, because so many issues can jump ahead of the iOS system. So we're really trying to organize the project now so that we actually have a schedule and deadlines and whatnot. But at this point, all I can say is that 0.9 is going to be released very soon, within February, definitely, but we don't have a specific date. I would just say keep checking the website, keep checking OS News and dig.com. We've been posting on there, and there have been a lot of posts about us on there. So that will help you keep up to date with our project. But I can't tell you a specific date. It's really difficult without working full-time on the project.
You guys better get moving. I don't want to hear any slowdowns. That's just some amazing stuff.
Thank you.
No, thank you for coming on.
Great. Well, do you guys have any other questions or anything? You want to discuss anything else about the project?
Pat, I mean, Alan, you've been silent.
I'm always silent.
You're playing video games in a corner.
I really want to download this and install it somewhere and try it out. That's so cool.
I definitely recommend the mini server for Windows then. You don't sound like a Windows.
No.
That's a wrong recommendation here.
Wrong show.
It's real simple. Since it's our latest release, I'm talking about that the most, I guess, but it's so simple for Windows users to install and not have to worry about IIS, which is not a great web server, but the mini server is great. Otherwise, we have the iOS source right there on our website. So
yeah, because I wasn't thinking about installing it. I was thinking about what Linux box I was going to install it on, or maybe OS X server. Not
like I said, I installed it on my Spark station over here, which does my intranet stuff here, my home network.
Yeah,
and it took all of 4 seconds to install it. So
it's a very small system. Uploading it to a remote web host only takes a few minutes.
The funny thing about that, though, is when you untar that file and you run it for the first time, it says, and it scared me for a second, right? It says, when you first started, it says you must change the permissions on user home and Etsy directory to 777.
Yeah.
Which scared the hell out of me. I'm thinking, I'm not changing my, permissions on my user Etsy and home directory. And then I went and looked underneath the iOS directory, and there are indeed separate user home and Etsy directories underneath it, but it doesn't tell you that.
Okay, we should explain that a little better, but yeah.
Yeah, probably tell somebody it's underneath the, or give them the path or something, underneath the iOS directory, because I was thinking that you wanted me to change my, change my Etsy directory or something like that. I was like, I don't do that.
We're definitely Linux people on this project, so we basically created the file system or the file structure of iOS the same as Linux. So yeah, you're right. We need to word that a little bit better. But yeah, that's only your iOS directories, and that's just so that you'd be able to save things off of the website.
Right, and as soon as I did that, man, it was up and ready to go. You know, yeah. And it's really cool. I really dig it.
Thank you. No database, which is a huge thing for anyone who has their own like shared hosting package on some random web host and whatnot. You don't have to pay for the additional web or SQL database or whatnot. Some hosts I know now still charge extra for a database on a hosting account. iOS doesn't use databases. It's all done with files, so true operating system style.
That's some really cool stuff.
Damn nifty.
Damn.
Well, Steven,
we'd want anyone who's listening to join the iForums. Contact the team with any suggestions or comments you might have. We're open to everyone's ideas. We're a true open source community, and we're trying to build our community, so we're very open to anybody's suggestions. And I'd just like to continue to repeat that.
Well, Steven, thanks for coming out. We appreciate it. You know, you guys are doing great stuff, and we'll keep a close look on what you're doing. You're more than welcome to hang around, you know, while we chit-chat for the last half hour or so.
Okay.
Alan, say something.
People wonder if you heard Alan.
Yes, I know. I'm reading the chat room here.
It's not really Alan. It's a recording.
It's the computer.
You know what, Steven?
Yeah.
You are welcome to stay on as long as you want.
Okay.
I just wanted you to know we're not kicking you off. We go till 10:30.
Okay.
And we actually should cut off at 10:30 so the BinRev people don't
scream at us.
Yeah.
It'll miss a whole lot.
10:30, but I know Link would like to comment about CVS. I'm sure.
Oh, would I?
That's what Pat said when he posted to LXer today.
Well, yeah, I know. I saw that too. He's talking about all the stuff that I wanted to talk about. Like he actually asked me or something.
I had to think of something to put up there.
But if you don't want to chime in about that, I do have a few more things I want to say about the GP2X.
Do it.
I'll do it. GP2X, I've been doing some more playing around with it. I'm really liking this device. Once you get past the limitations of the video formats, and, you know, it's easy to convert. No, Alan, that's the Palm, not the GP2X.
I know it is.
it's really cool. I pulled down a bunch of games over the past week. I'm really hooked on Sudoku. I think that's what it's called, the Japanese number game where you have to fill in the blocks. That's really fun and addicting. You can take that anywhere. But one of the problems I did have with it this week is I started ripping some CDs. So I started ripping them into OGG format, and I'm waiting for my flash reader, my multi-card reader, to arrive. And for some reason, it was just like the GP2X, it's on like that extended delivery plan. Because apparently it was delivered mid last week, and it still has not
flying,
arrived.
It's flying around somewhere on a plane.
They're sending it through Pony Express, I think. But I don't know if you ever order from a place who ships through the United States Post Office and provides you with tracking information. The United States Post Office tracking information sucks. Because every time I go and I put that tracking number in, it tells me that the package is ready for pickup. And most of the time, it gets to my house before that they ever pick it up, apparently.
Does the same thing for me, man.
Yeah. But I've been waiting for like over a week for this thing to arrive. And I really want the flash card reader, this multi-reader, because it's a real big pain in the butt trying to transfer files onto this device through flash. I mean, through the USB. Because, normally I don't have a problem, but transferring over a few podcasts or whatever, or some of the applications. But when I put in my other card, I got a 512 SD flash card, and I slapped that in there, and I started transferring over to music files. When I try and unmount the device, it took forever. And then I clicked the disconnect button on the GP2X, and that took, like, I was waiting for, like, 5-10 minutes at some point. I thought I didn't press the button. And if I press the button a second time, it automatically disconnects it. But the files don't get written to the flash device properly. So they're not there. Even though I copied
I've had
over.
That with the PlayStation Portable.
Right.
On it. If I don't wait for the lights to stop flashing on it, basically, for the transfer to stop, even though it says that it's unmounted on it, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And isn't that annoying?
Yeah, you have to watch it more.
So I figure if I had a flash card reader. Oh, I did get a power adapter for it. $9 at Fry's. That came in like 4 days. The other thing is taking forever. It's been like going on the third week now.
I haven't been to Fry's since I was like out in California. That's a great place.
I've never been to Fry's. I just ordered it online.
But wait, what kind of media is it that you have California, on that thing, Dan?
Yeah. SD flash. SD cards.
Secure just digital. Regular SD cards?
Yeah, they're really small.
Why didn't you just like go to Walmart and buy a, you know, buy a card reader or?
Well, I thought about that, like but, you know, I can get it for like $9. The stuff I was looking at, I couldn't find one. I went to a Walmart, but other places I've seen them for like $15, and that was only one thing that they read. Huh?
Newegg?
Well, I went to Price Watch, and I got the one for $9. There was a bunch of places that had it, like $9.
See, that's the thing. I see them everywhere. I see them at Walmart. I see them at like Circuit City and Best Buy and stuff like that. And if I can get something like that locally for $5 more, I'll get it locally because I can't wait.
Well,
you know what
this
I mean?
Yeah, this is a mult. This has like 6 different formats it'll use, and it was like cheaper than anything I found around here. And I was, I was like, yeah, I don't feel like going out, but maybe I should have. I could have built one for myself in the time it's taken to get here. But anyway. What I noticed is I transferred over a handful of OGs, and it wouldn't play them right. Like, I'd start playing. The first one I played was no problem, and I set it on shuffle, and when it got to the end, it just stopped. It didn't shuffle to the next song, or shuffle the songs. So I tried playing it on another song, and I started noticing that for some reason, it wasn't incrementing the time. It was like it couldn't read how long the actual file was. The time stamp on the file. And if I tried to go to the next one, it would just kind of like, it wouldn't lock up, but it just wouldn't go anywhere. So it had a problem with the OGG files I was encoding. But when I did the same, I used Ripper X, I did the same thing, but did MP3 files, no problem at all. They worked perfectly. But still, the time it takes me to transfer over from into the flash card through the USB on the GP2X is just horrendous. It's not worth it for me. That's why I'm waiting for the reader, and I hear everybody recommend to get a reader, too. I don't know why that's so slow. And sure enough, speaking of reading audio formats, MP3 files, I listened to Lug Radio today. Once again, what, a 40-minute episode shows up as 20 minutes, 20-some minutes.
I've had that happen to me where the episode is playing.
Yeah.
And the clock doesn't change.
It does. It's weird because it gets to the end of the episode. You can't stop it because if you try and pause it's not going to pick up there. And you can't fast forward to it. Once
you
it gets past that time,
it
just
can't.
Switches to the next file. I don't know how they're encoding it, but it just...
I don't know.
It's weird.
Just leave it at that.
So I have to like I had to drive home today. The ride home was like a 10-minute ride till I pick up my kids. And it was a 40-some-minute show. But it was only showing 24 minutes, and I already listened to like 36 minutes of it, so I had to fast forward all the way to about the end and listen, and then wait till it goes through. And then I didn't know how much longer it was after that 36 minutes. I sat there listening to it, and I was like, well, do I shut it off and re-listen to it again later, all the stuff I already heard, or do I just let the kids listen to it in a car?
Start hearing F-bombs.
Yeah. So...
Yes, but they're F-bombs in English. The King's English.
They're learning a foreign
Queen's
language.
Queen's English, right? Yeah.
Another boneheaded thing I did, I wasn't paying attention to how much space I was using on my one partition. And I put on a new podcast to download, one that was, I think, recommended on our forum. Soros, or whatever his name is. Why can't I ever pronounce his name? Psoriasis recommend.
Psoriasis.
On the website.
Dan butches Portuguese.
Some,
butches everything.
It was something.
How many languages
a RPG one, and I'm not sure if I got the right one, but when I downloaded it, they had like 50 episodes, and of course their feed had every single episode in the feed.
Ugh, I hate that.
Downloaded every single episode, ran out of disk space, and messed with my log files and Bash Potter. And now, that stinks, man. That's the worst.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then, so that rendered my log file unusable, I think.
Yeah, started from scratch.
And I ran Bash Potter over the weekend, and it started downloading everything.
Over the week.
And then, like, all those shows that never, you know, limit their feed, they have, like, every single show in the feed. I went through that, and I ran out of space again the one day. I had to start all over again.
You got to use BP config. You can check off the episodes that you don't want to download.
Yeah, I'm lazy, though. I am lazy. But that's what I have to say for right now.
Yeah.
So I'll let Link talk about CVS.
Yes, let's hear about CVS, Link.
Whoa. Did you hear about CVS? You guys have all used CVS before, right?
Yes.
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 Yeah? Well, I haven't.
Steven, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Do you use CVS over there on...
No, I have not.
Okay.
Well, you're in the same boat that I was in then when I set out to do this. I figured I needed to have some sort of a versioning system, right? Because I work on... I'm a PHP developer.
Okay.
Actually, one of two in my company that's doing a certain set of projects, and I figured that, you know, we're always overwriting each other's stuff, and maybe a versioning system would be a good idea. So I asked a bunch of geek buddies of mine, and they all pointed me to CVS, saying that that was indeed the one to go with, even though there are some new ones out, and there are some limitations with CVS proper. They said that was the one to go with because it's tried and true and tested and all that other happy horse shit. Well, the problem is that as wonderful as the internet is, there are no freaking documentation sites out there on how to install CVS on your Linux server that are actually correct. Some of them have most of it. Some of them have little bits and pieces. Unfortunately, the ones that have most of it and the ones that have little bits and pieces... all have the same information, and they're like missing the end part that they don't ever tell you. So, pretty much, I wasted like 10 hours of my life trying to figure out how to install this stupid server, which turns out to be really easy. If you visit my website, you can see it. Once you get it going, it works like a charm, except for, you know, really, I don't know what I'm doing with it. So... But everything's going and working the way it's supposed to be. If I can figure out how to use things a little bit better than I do now, it'll be great. I think it's it seems to me that it's a bit more limiting than I'm used to, though, because you have to go through so many steps in order to actually get something out. If I'm, like I said, I'm using it for web programming. So if I want to edit a file, make a change, I have to, like, download the module and make my change and update the module and commit it back to the repository and then go to the web server and I have to, you know, pull that module from the repository to the web server in order to just to see that the change is there and working. And it seems like an awful big pain in the butt just to get a little bit of a versioning going on, but I imagine that's the price I have to pay, and I'll just have to get used to it. What I would really like, though, is for someone to point me to some way, like I've seen a lot of, like on SourceForge, right? Every now and then you run into a project on SourceForge that actually displays the CVS versions that you could go down through on the website and pick through. I would like to have that available too, but I can't seem to find anything that works that looks like it would do it. Perhaps I'm looking for the wrong thing, so if you know what that is, please let me know. And I've rambled on for, you know, 10 minutes now, so go ahead, Dan. You have any CVS tips and tricks for me, Dan?
You know what? When you called me up the other night, it had been like, what, 2 years since I used CVS? 3 years? I just, forgot most of everything.
The ice just glazed over.
I was like, oh.
It wasn't just his ice that glazed over, man. It was like 11 o'clock at night. His dad says, what, huh?
Yeah. But he's glad that he once you start getting back into it, doesn't take long to pick it back up again. But,
Well, it doesn't take long to pick up at all. Like, actually using it. Installing the server was a pain in the butt. I mean, it's really easy,
yeah.
But it was a pain in the butt to figure out how to get going. Using it is not a hard thing at all. I mean, I'm sure there are things that I don't know how to do yet, like the administration portion of it, CVS administration, where you look through the log files and can figure out what the hell they're talking about and you know, what version of this is where and who has what checked out. I have no idea how to do any of that crap yet. I know how to check in and out a project out of the repository, and it automatically does the versioning by itself. So, you know, that's cool, but I'm just looking for anything that's going to make my life easier with it, because already it's like adding on 7 steps worth of shit that I would never do otherwise. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's what I said. That's Alan and I were saying that right before the show today.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Man, who's the biggest bullshit artist, man?
It's those long, you know, those long arduous pauses that we have here with nobody talking.
You know what the problem is?
Sorry, I run out of stuff to say.
I've been awake since 4:30.
Talking at all. Pat's not talking, and Dan's picking his ass or something.
No, I'm reading. I'm talking on the IRC. What we need is the festival plug-in there for IRC.
That would be funny.
Yeah, the computer voice in the background.
Yes.
We'd never be able to say anything, though, because the IRC, you know, we get 300-400 lines worth of stuff during the show.
There's a lot of people on tonight.
Yeah.
There's like 44 people on there, right?
There's a 46 at one point.
I mean, half of them are Dan's users, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, I got like 15 different users to make it look good.
Right.
I mean, next week I would really like to do some reading up on the GPL3 because it seems interesting. But also take a closer look at the FAT patent that was awarded to Microsoft this past week, apparently. And how that's, you know, really actually looking at the patent and how that's going to affect, you know, the free and open source operating systems and projects out there. From what I understand, it's not so much as a patent on the file system that is using the long file names. So, using the anything beyond the 8.3 support for long file names would run in violation of the patent. But again, I have not read the patent myself. It's something I'd have to do before I think I can actually comment on it. I'm basing a lot of my stuff I'm saying on what I've read in the art news articles and comments that people have said.
What would really be nice if we had someone who actually knew some legal things to talk to us about that, because I personally think the patent is going to be just junk, because everybody's going to make, you know, everybody's products are going to be grandfathered from before the patent actually went into effect and stuff like that. So I don't know what they're going to get out of it. I would love to hear somebody who actually knew something about patents.
And we're in luck because Steven is minoring in patent law.
Awesome.
You weren't talking about me.
No, man, once we get you on the show, that's it. You're on forever.
No, I don't know much about law.
Well, you got a whole week to learn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was kind of hoping that Grok Law would have more on there.
They didn't?
You know, I went to Grokster by accident one day when I went to go to Grok Law. You go to Grokster and they have that FBI warning on.
Yeah, your IP address has been scanned and recorded.
Yeah. Come get me.
Come bullshit, man.
Hey, come in my door. I'm just going to point them right to Pat's house and say, it all came from Pat!
Right.
He's got some kind of pirating business going on up there.
No business. There's no business.
Don't worry about it. There's no business.
That Pat, he's selling DVDs of his TiVo recordings.
No business, right?
You're just giving this stuff away for free.
There's no business.
What time is it?
It's 20 after 10. Oh. Should I do some frapper shout-outs?
Yeah, you can do a frapper shout-out, but we got a question for Steven on about iOS.
Let's do that first, then.
And, Steven,
yeah.
Another question from the IRC. How does one do collaborative stuff on iOS?
As of right now, the...
You don't.
Main... Yeah. No, as of right now, the main... the only way to really collaborate is through the iBoard and iMessages. The collaboration in the sense of being able to send messages to other users on the system. But we are working towards... our word processor would have collaborative properties of being able to interact with the same document across the system. Different users logging in from different... machines and being able to edit the same document on the server. It's more of where we see iOS going rather than where it is right now. So I guess that's my answer.
Well, all right then. Then I'm going to do the frapper shoutouts. We got Toby G from Beach Creek, PA. Paul Hoser from Webster, Texas. Bob from New York, New York. Flames fan from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Ron Ridley from Tomball, Texas. Michael Kaliska from Zary Lubski, Poland. Daniel Robotai from Victoria, British Columbia. Nurple from London, England. Oswald Kelso from Glenrothes, Scotland. We got Simon Mickelson from Hatterslev. Sondreland from Denmark. I probably butchered that. Tom K. from Lindenhurst, New York. Vince from Waukesha, Wisconsin. Extreme Codas from Kalamazoo. And that's it for this week for Frapper.
How many people are on that, Matt?
376, I think, was the last count.
Just need 24 to break 400.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Tell your friends, everyone.
And they'll tell their friends.
And so on.
And so on.
Yeah, we're supposed to hear from the Linux World Expo people this week, so...
We are supposed to.
Well, the week's not done yet, so the guy said next week, so he didn't specify what day, so.
Yeah, they'll wait until Friday and say, ah, you're out of luck.
Probably.
What are you going to do?
Well, then we're going to have to call up all our friends over at SUSE and Novell. Tell them that they have to get us in, so.
We did that already.
And they'll be like, who are you guys?
Do we know you?
Lug Radio's not going to come over.
Yeah, we're the guys with the big signs protesting your stuff for Linux out in front of the room.
Speaking of other shows, John and Kelly got their first episode out this week. Jack Attack.
I saw. Haven't listened to it. Thank you for the. When I went to John's site.
It's a bloody mess, isn't it?
Oh my god!
John's
site.
Holy
mess!
Somebody
put
links.
That URL in the IRC because I haven't even seen it yet.
He's got so many freaking buttons and links and frappers and feeds and shit. It's like, it's ridiculous. It gives you a headache just looking at it.
Like I just wanted the XML feed. That's all I wanted.
I know, delicious.
And I just got sick and tired of looking through that site.
It's pretty bad, man.
And then ads.
John, we love you, man, but that site is freaking hard.
And then you bring up some part of the site that has, like, this huge block at the top with all these, like, hot lit words or something. I don't know what it is. Is it the Technorati words or whatever? What it is, man,
there's all different variations of, like, RSS feeds. Everyone's got their own freaking little hook to it, and it's just a bloody mess, man.
But how do you really feel about it?
Oh, it's hard. Just stick with the basic freaking standard RSS feed, the RSS 2.0.
But some people use Yahoo and some people use iTunes.
Oh.
You know what I'm really wondering, I'm waiting for?
Our picture doesn't show up in iTunes.
I don't know why. I submitted it.
I'm just saying it doesn't show up.
But my concern is the new version of GarageBand has like all this podcasting capability. And it'll automatically upload your podcast. But the default format is AAC. I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing a lot of podcasts in that format. And if we are, isn't that kind of a closed format that you really, I mean, you have the same issues with playing on Linux. I'm wondering if it would actually play on my device right there.
Well, it's going to kill off anybody from listening to anything other than an iPod real easily, and right. That's for sure there.
Does the iRiver iAudio play AAC?
No. The iAudio does it, the one I have. It plays Windows Media.
But you know what? They don't give a damn. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? You don't have an iPod?
What Dan said.
Screw you, Alan. You have an iPod? You're not running it under OS 10?
You have three of them?
Screw you. You don't need any music. Three iPods.
No music for you!
I've got a 20 gig, my wife has a mini, and I have a nano as well.
Man, how about that? I remember, like, everybody was complaining, oh, why doesn't iTunes support podcasting? And Apple's was like, well, podcasting isn't that great. Oh, why doesn't it? And then all of a sudden they support it, and Apple's like,
This is the greatest thing in the world.
We give you podcasting now.
Yes.
The greatest.
No, they're like, we invented podcasting.
The greatest utility.
It is a gift.
Not only
job.
Did we invent podcasting, but we're having our buddies Microsoft invent RSS for you.
Oh, thank you.
What are you going to do?
It is a gift from Jobs.
And then Google puts out a player that only works under Windows.
Meanwhile, meanwhile everything's running on Linux and BSD and shit.
Hooray. What are we playing out tonight? What should we play out tonight?
We got some music?
Yeah, we do have some music that we got last week. Somebody... Well, let's do one of these. I'll do that. My Hate Will Die With You.
That sounds like an uplifting song.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. And
all love songs all the time.
Yes. This song's going out to Steven and the iOS projects.
Thank you.
My eyes will die with you. All right. So many things to choose from. Oh, I got to put out your Today with a Techie tonight.
You're going to do that for me? Thank you.
Yeah, I'll do that for you.
We're going to have a special two-parter for Today with a Techie episodes.
A double ender.
Yeah, we did a double ender. It's a two-parter on video editing in Linux.
I do not want to see the pictures of that one.
We did
Dan will be posting them later.
We did that remotely. I was at home, and Dan was here. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up, man.
Oh, one last thing I wanted to ask. First off, the person who brought up that...
Thanks for listening. Yeah, you're supposed to stop at that point.
That role-playing podcast was Ryochan 7. My mistake. Secondly, I think... did Gomer X change his avatar?
Yes, he did.
Because he doesn't look as evil as he used to.
No, he's not evil.
It's the good Gomer X.
He looks more disturbed than evil.
It's the good Gomer.
It's the good Gomer X. But I thought he did. He had a mustache or something now or something.
I don't know
what it was. Yeah, anyway, I like... He's cool. He's fun. Good stuff. I want to thank you tonight, Steven.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime.
Thank you for coming on. I'm going to...
Yes, and please consider coming on again and give us some more updates about iOS and its progress, because we all think it's really cool. So.
Oh, awesome. Definitely we will then. We'll definitely have to look into all the suggestions that you and your listeners gave us, and hopefully when we get them all completed, we'll come back and tell everybody about it.
That's right. Just remember to fix that default webpage and we'll be good.
Yeah.
That, their new theme, white on white.
White on white.
It's white on white, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to play some music
out
of here.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, good night.
Good night, everyone.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, bitch.
That was My Hate Will Die With You from Lithium.
Woohoo!
I'd like to see you try it, you lame excuse for a half dog.
You know I want to tap that ass.
Probably nobody over there has their headphones on.
We want
to listen to
anything
me anymore.
How about if I paint your fine ass?
Oh, Danny. Brush.
Shut up.
Oh, Danny boy, your ass is glowing.
Yeah, you sing it out there, sweetie pie. Wow, you know what? This week I forgot to cut off Ben Rev.
I forgot to shut off Ben Rev, huh? Shit.
I reduced the connection count to 5 on the server over here. Streaming.
Yeah, I noticed that. I tried to get on the server and it bumped me right the hell off. So.
Yes, right.
But I'm and wondering. That was, you must have had 5 people on there before, boy, I tried to get on at 7:30, so.
Yeah, I don't know. What it might have to do is set it up, if we could get a hold of the mirrors and set them as relays so that I can stream right to them. Instead, yeah. I think right now they connect to us when it would probably be better if we send a stream to them. That way they don't have to worry about being connected. or trying to get in a connection.
That might do it.
Right. Well, I thought about doing that this week, but then, I don't know. I touched myself instead.
Isn't there a song about that?
Yeah. You know what? I went out Saturday night to karaoke, and somebody did that song during karaoke, and I said to my wife, I said, you know what? If we took that song...
Did you get up and sing with them, Dan?
No. If we took that song and we did a little bit about that and had, like... Like, just like, of course, you could picture it in your head what you can do with a little bit like that. Like, Alan in his underwear spinning around in his chair, you know, stuff like that. And we released that, that would be such a big hit. That would be so funny. And we'd end up like Ding Fries Are Done kind of.
Yep.
It would be hilarious. It would be a little humiliating, but it would be hilarious.
Dude.
What?
That would be funny. Yeah, I hear Alan complaining in the background over there. I'm not going to be in my underwear and anything. We all know that because Alan doesn't wear underwear, right?
What?
What's he saying?
What? Have we ever gotten any tips from the... yes, and I've taken that money and I've used it to pay off some of the bandwidth and other things. So yeah, we've got, I don't know how much we have in there. We've got like $130 all together, I think.
Really? We also got some money, like people buying the DVD. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know. Last I knew, I was the last person that donated any money. So.
Yeah. Well, I gotta check these guys out, man. And I'll talk to you in a little bit, Link. I'm not cutting you off. I'm just going to stop the recording and walk these guys out.
All right, I'll be here.
All right. Good night, everybody. You want to say good night to everybody? Are you
off? Take it easy. Good night.
Yeah. Recording. And I'm going to get the... what am I doing? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Starting the show.
Recording. Let's get it going.
Five. Four.
Yes, I know, I know. count. We're doing... I guess I'm going to have to use MPlayer for that. What was the name of that file?
I don't know. You downloaded it. I didn't see what you called it.
Don't we have a download folder, Dan?
Yeah, but it's
in with the porn.
Four porn AVI, right? Okay. Oh. All right. Here we go. You guys ready?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay. There'll be about 4 minutes of silence, is it? Because that's pretty...
Something like that, yeah. Thing.
Okay. All right, Steven, we'll be back in a minute. Link, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Wait for the count. Good thing you brought this up here from Google Video, because I got a complaint. I'll save for the show.
What about how slow it downloads?
No. I don't know.
You know, on the show announcement that I put out, I put Dan talks about his GP2X again.
And I'll be talking about...
I'm sure you do want to talk about it.
I'm going to be talking about Nash.
Oh, you played around with it a little bit?
Yes, I did. And some more Arch stuff.
I got some Arch stuff, too.
No Arch stuff for you! Oh, I got to watch that.
Yeah, when you do that, pull away from the microphone.
People are complaining that Dan was yelling.
Yeah, although I didn't hear the yell that was... I saw the email on that. I didn't hear the yell that he did, but...
I went and I checked it out. It wasn't too bad, relatively speaking, for Dan.
All right, I guess we have to
We all have to remember, as you get louder, you have to get farther away from the microphone.
The times where Dan's talking sideways like this is not when he's yelling.
Well, he can yell if he wants to talk sideways across the mic.
Okay, hold on. We're going to do a Skype test.
All right, then. When I first met you, in real life, how much I missed you.
Go!
All right now! I like Fairies with Boots better. That's a better song. Link is crying for us to go into the asterisk for him.
Testing, 1, 2, testing, testing.
Tell him I'm...
Chat with Steven.
Yeah, if you want to... What are we doing with Link? We bring him on Skype or asterisk?
Oh. I don't know.
Might as well pop him in on Skype because then we're going to... And we just have to bounce him off to bring him into the conference on that anyways.
Well, dead air. There's a lot of dead air for the hawk.
I'm private messaging Link, telling them we're going to do Skype, so hopefully he picks up and,
Dun-dun. I'm concerned about doing a conference, because I don't want to try and do all this conferencing, and then... You know, like, every time something screws up, I got to shut Skype down. I got
to
bring it back up.
Yeah, get everybody back.
And then get it all back up again.
Well,
however you want.
Tell Link that.
I mean, I can try. Who keeps dinging? Oh. Alright. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's that. Oh, wait, did I?
Oh, man.
And so it begins.
Let me see something here. Ah. Aha! I turned off my PC speaker, so now it won't be me. Oh, wrong window. Sound checks, go ahead.
Hello, check 1, 1, 2, check.
The internet is for porn.
No, it's not.
The internet is for porn.
It's an enabler for freaks like you,
for
perverts.
Meat spin.
Perverts like Dan.
All right, here we go.
Meat spin, yes.
Meat spin.
Are we recording again?
Yes.
Hudson Bay, Ontario, Quebec.
Hudson Hawk.
Saskatchewan.
Pat.
Regina.
Yes.
Edmonton.
Hello, check 1.
Test 1.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Service. After the beep, please record a message of up to 10 seconds. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
Testing.
Hello,
testing.
Hello.
Three. Hello.
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 Hello. 1, 2,
hello.
1, 2.
Finger
check.
Bang.
Test.
Hello.
Test.
What's that?
Sneaky pinky.
British
Fisty.
Columbia. Alberta.
Fishy face.
Washington.
Hello. Testing.
Hello.
Hello.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Finger bang.
Test.
Hello.
Test. Wow,
what's
we sound awful muffled there all
British
of a sudden.
Columbia. Alberta.
Fishy face.
If you were able to...
You want to do another one?
Yeah, I'm going to go back up loud with that one.
Oh! Why doesn't it release? Why all of a sudden doesn't it release the? What is holding up the sound device? What is that? It never used to do that.
Hello, welcome to Skype call testing service. After the beep, please record a message of up to 10 seconds. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
Hello, testing 1-2.
Check 1-2.
Test. Testing 1-2.
1-2-1-2.
Hello?
Dan had asparagus. He's going to guess us out again tonight?
No, I had cabbage, though. Bok choy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'll be leaving.
Testing 1-2. Check 1-2.
Test. Testing 1-2.
1-2-1-2. Sounds bad.
Hello?
Dan had asparagus. He's going to guess us out again tonight?
No, I had cabbage, though. Is that good enough?
I think it's good enough.
Yeah, we can run with it. If it gets too loud,
that's
I'll
not
just
gonna
turn
be good.
The, three guys run the porn ring inside your house.
Yeah. I'm like, well, check. My friends are like, check out this new video on the web. Oh, that look that they look familiar.
Make sure you hide all your videos.
Yeah. let me see here. Sound checks.
Probably a good idea.